Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And then this evening at 6 p.m., we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, which is a very important devotion after the Mass. So you should make every effort to come, especially now that even though it's dark out, you can see where you're going in the parking lot with the lights. And for those who don't know there are lights in the parking lot, that's because you haven't been here at night. So that's another motive to come here. We want to thank all of you who donated for the bake sale last Sunday. And then the Wednesday evening talk on the Catholic faith is canceled, and that will not resume till sometime in January. The Christmas schedule, just so you all know, and in case you need to refer to it, it's in the vestibule on the bulletin board. This Saturday is Christmas Eve, and there'll be the usual Mass on Saturday at 8:30 a.m. And then that evening we'll have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. So that's Christmas Eve this Saturday. There'll be the midnight Mass at midnight, and the chapel will open at 11 p.m. And then next Sunday, Christmas Day, there'll be a high Mass at 10 a.m. So next Sunday, Mass at 10 a.m., and then benediction of the Blessed Sacrament again on Christmas evening at 6 p.m. And just as a reminder, everyone knows this, but for those who are not sure or who have relatives who are lax in their Catholic faith, Christmas is a holy day of obligation. So that means all Catholics are seriously bound to assist at Mass on Christmas. If a person knowingly, deliberately does not go to Mass on Christmas, it's a mortal sin. That's assuming they are Catholic and that they know the rules of the faith. If you're attending the midnight Mass, we remind you to make sure you get enough rest so you are attentive. And then the confession schedule. This Saturday morning after Mass will be the final opportunity to receive the sacrament of penance before Christmas. So Saturday after the 8:30 Mass will be confessions. There'll be no confessions heard Saturday evening or on Christmas Day. The only feast we want to mention this week, because he's a very great saint, is on Wednesday, December 21st, is the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. And there are theologians and commentators on the Catholic faith for centuries who have said that the very finger of St. Thomas is like a pillar that stands representing the faith for all Christians until the end of time, because it was his weakness, fault, whatever way it was, maybe it was a venial sin, his doubt that he didn't believe the apostles on Easter Sunday evening when our Lord appeared to them. He did not believe these other 10 men because, as you know, Judas had committed suicide, so there are 10 apostles left. Probably 9 because St. Matthias had not been chosen. But depending on whatever number of disciples, they said, "We saw our Lord," and he did not believe it. And he said, unless I put my finger in his side, inside the wound, and put my finger in the wounds in his hand, I will not believe. He just made a statement refusing to believe his fellow apostles. And so a week later, as you know the story on Low Sunday, our Lord appeared again and did St. Thomas and all of us, all Christians for all time, a big favor by appearing to him and to all of the apostles and saying, giving in to his request to put the finger in his sacred wounds. And we know the response of St. Thomas. He said, my Lord and my God. And that is what we say every time we see the elevation of the host, the body of Christ, and the chalice of our Lord's precious blood, when the priest lifts them after the two consecrations. And we get an indulgence by saying those words of St. Thomas. So if you're able to assist at Mass on that day, that would be an honor to God and the Apostle. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so count us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here it is required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self. For I have nothing on my conscience, yet I am not thereby justified. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts. And then everyone will have his praise from God. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of the district of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now this Sunday and this week is the final preparation for the church and for each one of us for the great and very solemn and holy feast of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's sort of like the spirit, though more joyful, sort of like Holy Week before Easter, because there is that element of penance with the violet vestments. However, it's not as serious or grave because we still have the Alleluia said in the Masses on Sunday. But when this Mass is repeated during the week on Ferias, that Alleluia is not recited by the priest. Remember, violet is a sign of mourning, of penance, of recalling our sins. But not just recalling them, but being sorry for them and having a firm purpose of amendment. As we've said so many times to all of you and to individuals, a person can become a great saint and go straight to heaven when they die if they take to heart the act of contrition. That is the correct one that's in the examination of conscience. To never do anything to offend God anymore. To have a great, not just desire, but firm purpose of amendment, making a promise to God not to do these bad things anymore. And that's what we should have, that spirit of penance and sorrow for the rest of this time before Christmas. Now, St. Paul in this epistle, he calls himself a steward of Christ, a steward of the mysteries of God. He's talking about the priesthood, those who are servants of Christ, but stewards, those who protect the mysteries of Christ, the Mass, the sacraments, the doctrine, and dispense them and explain them. And he says, now it is required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. The faithful have to trust their priests and their bishops and their pope. How few there are that trust clerics in today's church. And he says, St. Paul continuing, he says, I have nothing on my conscience, as I read a moment ago in the epistle, but I am not yet thereby justified. Just because he realizes and he says, there's nothing on my conscience, he's not saying, I'm justified and I can go straight to heaven. He has to work out his salvation, as he tells us. When someone commits himself or herself to Christ, becomes baptized, believes everything our Lord taught, that's the first step. Now you have to live what you've learned. So those people need help. If someone tells you that, tell them, you know, I don't know if you can be sure you're going straight to heaven. Why don't you call this phone number? And it's one of the priests at Servants of the Holy Family, and they can, in a very kind way, explain a way to get to heaven. And then he said, pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes. Again, we have people who are non-believers who misinterpret these words, and they say, you can't judge me. Who are you to judge? So you tell them something about the faith or something that they're doing wrong, if it's appropriate. Or even they hear doctrine from the church or from what the church has said through theologians and saints. And they say, who's the church to judge? Tell me what's right and wrong. Well, unfortunately, they're on a terrible path because they're following in the footsteps of Adam and Eve, who wanted to determine what's right and wrong. Yes, judgment. God is a judge, and he's given some of his power to judge to the church and even to the secular world. Judges in the legal profession. We're not going to talk about the rampant corruption and evil in that field and in the courts, but they still have from God, as Pontius Pilate did, authority from heaven to pass judgment, even if they don't exercise it correctly. But what is a beautiful ending of this epistle? Until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then everyone will have his praise from God. Those who have right and good hearts will not be afraid at the last judgment, at the second coming. Yes, we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but when that moment comes, when our Lord is carrying his cross, coming from the east, those who have a good conscience and are sincere will rejoice. It's finally over, this time of tribulation. Now is a time to go to heaven, to go home. And those who have an evil conscience and something that sets them apart from God, it's too late. Now it is said by theologians that there will be people who actually will not die, so to speak. We don't know exactly how it will happen. But at the last judgment, those who are alive on earth will maybe experience some sort of a death or a transition, but they will have moments to be sorry for their sins. Maybe God gives them a grace at the last moment. But we cannot stress enough how important it is not to put off one's salvation, one's path to heaven. As we said a month ago, within a very similar theme of the sermon on the last Sunday after Pentecost, when we preach to you about these matters. As we've said, as all the priests have said, and as I told you this, never did any priest, except our Father Superior when I was a seminarian, tell us that Christmas, but also the season of Advent that prepares for Christmas, is all about the second coming of Christ. That's why we have these three great figures of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John the Baptist, and Isaiah the prophet as our examples. Now, one thing we should tell you, most of you, if not virtually all of you, have heard many of these things before. It always is good to hear a reminder about a particular doctrine, maybe once a year. However, every time we have a Sunday Mass, we know that there are people who have never heard these things, newcomers. So if it's in your mind, if you're being tempted to say, oh, I've heard this before, it's the same sermon, well, see, it's the same Sunday. So I happen to look at the date. I actually had this Sunday last year, and I thought there are other things I can prepare for this sermon, but it is the same epistle and gospel. What person can say, well, I heard that epistle last year, I don't care to hear the explanation again? That is a path going way out in left field. But also, be very patient with yourself, because there are people maybe sitting right next to you who have never heard these things before. It may be their way to change their lives and become Catholic or become more fervent. Now, this beautiful epistle concludes, as I said, with everyone will have his praise from God, meaning we will have the reward in heaven that God has promised us, if we are prepared for the coming of Christ at the end of time, if we are prepared for Christmas Day next week. That we have rooted out the evil in us. That we've made a good confession. It is, incidentally, the Catholic custom practice to go to confession about once a month, maybe every 2 or 3 weeks, even if a person's not in the state of serious sin. It is a mistake and really an error to think, oh, I don't have to go to confession except if I have a mortal sin. Now, the Baltimore Catechism, number 3, does say, just so to clarify, you know, the commandment of the church, it says, confess your sins at least once a year. That means if a person has a mortal sin on their soul, they go to confession at least once a year. So strictly speaking, no, the person does not commit a sin if he or she does not go to confession for several years and they have no mortal sins on their soul. Maybe there are circumstances where a person cannot get to confession because they can't go to a good priest that will hear their confession. But here, where you have everything at your fingertips, in the modern times of the church, meaning the last several centuries, it's frequent confession is the practice of the saints to become holy. To always apologize to God by confessing your sins. And we were telling someone recently, because we hear that all the time, I don't need to confess, by non-Catholics and even fallen away Catholics, I don't need to confess my sins to a priest, to a man. I tell God I'm sorry. Oh, really? Okay. Is that right? What did our Lord say to them, as we've told you this, but as a reminder, he told the apostles Easter Sunday night, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Meaning, the ones you don't forgive, or a penitent who comes to the confessional clearly without true repentance, the priest not only may not, he is forbidden to absolve them. Now, that's in the Bible. That's what he said to the apostles. The Protestants, I don't know what they say to that. However, all of us know that any time we commit any sin, whether mortal or venial, if we make a sincere act of contrition, that very moment the sin is taken away and grace is restored. However, we have to go to confession. So I told this, gave this example in this explanation to this person. I said, you know why our Lord did that? Because we are human beings. We have eyes and ears and mouths. And we have these senses. So let's say you say something very cruel to your neighbor. Very bad. Fit of anger, and you say something terrible. And then later in the day you say, I regret it. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. And you even tell God you're sorry. You're going to tell your neighbor that you offended? Are you going to tell them you're sorry? No, I told God. It's all taken away, so everything's fine. I'm giving that analogy because there's the importance of speaking, telling your sins and saying you're sorry. Confession you tell the priest who represents Christ. St. Luke in this gospel, he was the most literary, we could say, of all the evangelists. He had a beautiful ability to write. And he gives this description of who are the political leaders at that time to make it crystal clear when these events were happening. and he's talking about St. John the Baptist, who was preaching a, as it says here, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Even though he was doing this for only a few months, his impact on that whole region was huge, because he was on fire with the love of God, with his mission, his command to preach the coming of Christ. And it is said that at the end of time, there will be another person who will do the same thing before the last judgment, before the second coming. And it is said also Elias the prophet will do come back too. St. John was thought to be Elias, the reincarnation, so to speak, of Elias. People didn't know who he was because he dressed similarly to Elias. Well, Elias will come again, sort of following St. John the Baptist at the end of time. But with these beautiful words of St. Luke, he's quoting Isaiah the prophet. As we mentioned to you several times before, the voice of one crying in the desert, St. Isaiah says, and then St. Luke is quoting him, "Make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth." Now, of course, the people who read this, they knew that it was a metaphor, but also it was something actually really happened in those days. For centuries, when a king or important person would come to a region, they would redo the roads, especially in Roman times. Make them straight, pave them, whatever way they would improve the roads, to make it an easier way for the coming of this king or this royalty. But also, he's talking about the rough ways of our lives, the crooked and sometimes evil lives that we lead, that some will take us on the wrong path, could take us to hell. So he says, the crooked ways shall be made straight, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. That, of course, is no doubt about talking about the second coming of Christ at the end of time. And the beautiful thing we have to make this happen for each one of us is this most sacred liturgy of the Catholic Church, the Mass, with readings tailored to different liturgical seasons, and this one preparing us for the coming of Christ on Christmas Day, ultimately the second coming. But also, what does it do for us today and this next week, and especially Christmas? What does it do? If we take these words to heart, it prepares us for receiving our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, not as a routine. If we could only tell you the stories of people we know in this state and around the country who can go to Mass maybe once a month, once every 2 months, because they live in a very remote area, or because of other circumstances of sickness, and the one time in a month they can receive Holy Communion, it means everything. Receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we say this so that when you receive communion today, you can stir up in your hearts, as it says in this beautiful introit for today. We'll read it for you. Rather, the collect, stir up thy power and come, we pray thee, O Lord, and with great might help us, that our deliverance, which our sins impede, may be hastened by the help of thy grace and the forgiveness of thy mercy. You could read this right before going to the communion rail to have good and holy thoughts. Thoughts of regret of past mistakes, but especially thoughts of joy, just like St. Thomas. And this is, your receiving communion at this communion rail is greater than St. Thomas putting his finger in his side, our Lord's side. Because you're taking our Lord into your body, into your souls. St. Thomas just touched our Lord. So we hope this will be your prayer this week, that you may be prepared for the coming of Christ, especially this Christmas, this coming Sunday. May God bless you.